The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to whatever your commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Part 2.
I'm Ryan Lambert from Elite Prospects.
Hey, everybody. Sean McAdoo from The Athletic.
And, we have to apologize right off the bat. We're about to say all the same shit we said last week.
Yeah.
COVID. The Olympics. It's all bad.
It is. And this is a weird week to do a podcast because it's like, it feels like we just went through a week where there was a ton of news. Like every time you went on Twitter, there was some new breaking story. And yet,
nothing
a week later. Like, what do we really have to talk about? Yeah almost nothing all the happened. Games got canceled.
Yep. Did you watch Vegas Tampa last night?
I didn't. You know what? I probably should have because that's
the last game you're going to see for a month.
Last chance for a little while.
Pretty good game. Very, very, very. Those two teams are so good, man.
It's a potential Stanley Cup preview.
Yeah, it was really fun one. I don't think Vegas in a Cup final would go with Laurent Brossoit for their goaltender.
You don't think? Yeah, maybe.
But boy, you know who looked good last night was a young man out of Russia named Andrei Vasilevskiy.
Heard of him?
Ooh.
Yeah, he's good. He's like what is your list of legitimately good NHL goalies? Like not guys who are
it's short,
good, right? Yeah, like the guy where at the beginning of the year you're like that team has good goaltending. We don't need to think like it's him, Hellebuck.
Yep.
And there's a few guys that Shesterkin is probably getting there, but
he's got to be in that conversation.
Just hasn't done it yet enough, I would say. But
yeah,
he feels like the Lehner. Next one up. Lehner, yeah.
You can't look. Say what you want about the early part of his career. Lehner has been good every stop he's been on since Long Island. So.
And other than that, it's like a bunch of guys who are either bad or they might be good. They might be, who knows, in a given
year. You would have said John Gibson before the last couple of seasons.
I feel like with Gibson, didn't we spend the last few years saying, like, he's maybe not as good as we think? Like, the numbers aren't all that good. And then
he's been quite bad the last couple of years.
He looks good this year. Carey Price, we have no idea, really.
And would you have said that's a guy who's reliably good even before?
Yeah.
I don't think
in the regular season. No.
Yeah.
Heard he's good in the playoffs.
Yeah. I'm told. It's come up once or twice. Other than that, the only guy I can think of, I guess, is Jonathan Quick, who's actually having a great season for LA.
He's back.
He's back, folks.
11 years of their goaltending.
38 or whatever he is. He's got it all figured out. So.
That's it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's the toughest prediction to or toughest position to predict, obviously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean,
the point being, if you're Tampa and you've got like that one guy and they're paying him a lot, you're happy to do that.
Yeah, I can't say he hasn't earned it.
Yeah,
there are like a lot of goalies who have not earned the big paycheck.
Lock it away, and you know what? In a way, like even though he gets the real big money, he pays a little bit of that back because you can just go super cheap on backup. You just, anybody, you grab them off the streets and like, all right, you're the backup. You're going to play 20 games during the regular season against teams we already know we can beat. And you can go home in mid-April because you are not seeing the ice. There is no chance.
And the other thing, of course, is that like if you're an elite goalie, whatever, what does he make? $9.5 million, something like that. If you're an elite goalie, even $9.5 million is actually kind of a bargain.
Yeah. As long as you're that every year, right? Because that's
and
the
he
thing.
Is. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's the one guy who is, because there's other guys. I mean, there's not a lot of the other guys who make that money. Price is probably the only other one, and he's been inconsistent. You know, you're happy to pay $10 million for $10 million worth of goaltending in the NHL. The problem is with 90% of this league, half the time you get $3 million goaltending or league minimum goaltending, because it's just the nature of the position. You're just like, what's going on? Vasilevskiy, man, every year is just super good. Yeah. I think Tampa might be good. I don't know. That's my hot take. I think
they're
contenders.
I think I just looked it up, and they're like 8-1-1 in their last 10, and that's without Kucherov or Point.
Yep.
I just finished, like right before we started recording, I just finished writing about a few teams. Vegas looks great. They're like 8-2 in the last 10, and they're like 19-8 since like mid-October or something like that. Like, you know, one of the best records in the league. They missed Pacioretty for a big chunk of that time. They missed Alec Martinez for a big chunk of that time.
And
Mark Stone obviously missed a handful of games. They still don't have Jack Eichel.
Jack Eichel just looming off in the distance.
He's a few weeks away from allegedly being able to play.
yeah.
Well, you know, like they were acting like, well, he might be able to play in the Olympics. And, you know, they would have left for the Olympics in 3-4 weeks. So that's crazy to think about. It's really interesting, like how the this extra time off is like buying time for teams that need guys back healthy. The Penguins are another one. 7-game winning streak, I think. They're going to get Malkin back soon. They're going to get Rust back soon. They're going to get Gensel back soon.
Their leading healthy scorer right now, do you know off the top of your head?
Is it Evan Rodriguez?
It is.
Still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a little
unbelievable.
Scary when he's your guy.
Yeah. You're like, we're comfortably in a playoff spot.
Yeah.
And in fact,
and
trending
rolling
up,
over teams. Yeah.
Trending way, way up lately. Speaking of goaltending, though, I think everybody kind of says, well, this is all Tristan Jarry.
Well,
punching above his weight.
I made like an offhand comment about him in my column this week where I said, you know, he's good except when he isn't. And I had Penguins fans upset about that, saying he's been good all year. Like he hasn't been bad at all at any point in any game. Like a lot of them seem all in, which surprises me because
he's been unbelievable this year.
He has.
Like, incredible. I for me personally, as not a not a Penguins fan, and that's the thing to say, is like, you know, you got a negative reaction from fans after saying a guy on their team who's playing well might not be as good as he appears.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah, wild.
I am kind of waiting for the rug to get pulled out from under him a little bit, but with that having been said, they're doing all this much like Vegas. They missed Sidney Crosby for a good chunk of the season to start off. They didn't give a shit. Didn't matter, really.
Yep.
They're in great shape despite a bunch of very important players missing fairly significant time. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Just real quick on Jarry. Just tell me this. Because it feels like we went into this season and everybody was like, oh, yeah, Pittsburgh goaltending is a big problem. Jarry's a bum.
Mm-hmm.
Was he actually that bad last year, or did
he
we just overreact? He was terrible
year,
in the playoffs. But did we just overreact to a couple of bad games in the playoffs, including like the one bad giveaway that was like highlight reel? Did that just make us think that a guy who last year, because I'm looking at his numbers, he was 909 last year.
Well, regular season, 39 games, minus 8.3 GSACs.
Okay.
That's bad.
That's bad.
Really bad.
All right.
Minus 8.3 was 73rd in the league among goalies who faced at least 50 unblocked shot attempts.
Okay. In a league with 31 teams
yeah.
that each should have two goals.
73rd out of 92 goalies.
Yeah. All right. Okay, man. Well, that answered that question for me.
Yep, that's right.
By the way, this is going to be the whole show is just us flailing around topic to topic. So settle in.
Yeah, sorry, but that's how it's got to be. Yeah, okay, let's talk about COVID, though.
It's bad.
It's really bad. I think it's like 11 teams have at least 5 guys in the protocols as of yesterday.
Yeah.
That's a third of the league with at least a quarter of their roster in the protocols. Mm-hmm. The Calgary Flames, do you know what the Flames' number of guys in the protocols is as of yesterday?
Oh, man. Are they up to like 15?
I'm doing a thing. I'm pointing with my thumb upward.
Okay. What, 18?
A little higher than that, even.
20? There's only 20 guys.
It's 19. It's 19. Yikes. There's 23 guys on your active roster at any given time. 19 for the Calgary Flames are on the COVID list. Not great. But yeah, I mean, look, I think we can all agree this is the right thing for the league to do. Just call the Christmas break 3, 4, 5 days early.
Mm-hmm.
Get that one last Tampa Vegas game in, just because Tampa was already in Vegas.
Exactly. They were already there. There was no real benefit to.
What was it? Was it Washington was in Philly and they were like, yeah, we're not going to play this game.
Yep.
You got to be out of your fucking mind. So, like, there was. I was fully expecting, like, 10 minutes before that game started for them to be like, you know what? We're not happening with this one, actually. We can't let it take place. Like I said, this had to happen, right? And I don't know how the thing is. I don't know how much good it's going to ultimately do.
That's it. That's what we said last week. Like, are you if you shut down for 2 weeks, what are you really accomplishing? Especially since for a big chunk of this, all the players scatter across the continent, go home for the holidays. You know, you hope people are going to be smart, but it's not like everyone's getting locked in a bubble for 2 weeks. They're not going to come back and be like, hey, look at that. Everyone's good. And we move on. It's still, you know, we talked about it last week. It feels like we're rapidly getting to a point where you gotta pick a lane between an extended shutdown or you go the other way and you say, you know what, maybe we just do less testing, or maybe we let players who are asymptomatic just play. At which point the thing rips through your league even more, and pretty much everyone gets it, but you work on the assumption that the players are, you know, everybody's vaxxed except for one guy, they're young, they're healthy, nobody's going to get really sick, you hope, and you just let it rip and be done with it.
Which honestly, I would be fine with.
It's like it, that's like where
if that's what guys want to do, go with God. That's fine, whatever. But it's the fact that they're going to be like, oh, and there will be 18,000 people in the building watching us cough on each other.
And the other thing is also, you know, somebody on, I think it was the Reddit, pointed out, it's one thing to say, you know, the players are all young and healthy. There's coaches. A lot of the staff are older, you know, and it's not just when we say staff, we're trainers and medical and people who are around, and then those people go home to their families. And, you know, at one point, how wide is this spreading before inevitably somebody gets more than a little sick? And maybe it's not a player, but and it gets very uncomfortable then, because you sort of, you know, you might say, well, then shut it down. If even one person gets really sick, it's not worth it. But it's a billion-dollar business, and they probably do think it's worth it. And you know, and this is also how we've typically done it every year when it comes to things like, you know, flu and other. I mean, there have always been people who are sick, and, you know, people who are out of lineups even. But you just kind of roll with it. Is this different? Yeah, I think it pretty obviously is different. But is it different enough that a league that desperately needs to play these games is going to decide to shut down? I don't think.
And again,
they do.
it's it's not just need to play these games. It's need to play these games in front of 18,000 people because they just played 56-game season last year with almost nobody in the stands, like, on a per-game basis. So, like, even as, you know, as the season went along, obviously, there some teams were like, oh, we can do half capacity, we can do three-quarters capacity, whatever. Ultimately, that doesn't – those numbers are, like, inconsequential.
Yeah.
And so, like, the idea that now – what was it? Like, is Ontario still saying, like, half, or are they even going crazier than that?
It's 50%, and with no eating and drinking, which – so there go your concessions as well for the for the game.
So – And like, you know, I one imagines Quebec will continue for the near future to do a similar thing of like game by game basis. We might just say you can't have fans. I think I saw British Columbia is doing something similar. Feels like we're not that far away from some of the bigger cities in the U.S., like maybe L.A., New York, et cetera, kind of doing a similar thing. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't think there's a good one that anybody's going to like.
That's it. And the one thing that it feels like you can't do, maybe, as at least as a long-term strategy, is what we're doing right now, which is having a schedule, acting like we're going to play these games, and then one by one canceling them based on, you know, if a team has six or seven guys who have tested positive and maybe have no symptoms. Maybe they feel fine, but they've tested positive, so they can't play.
Yeah, so I mean, Dr. Steve Eiserman told me that's fine, so what's the big deal?
That's right. But this is it feels like the direction that we're headed for other sports is they're just going to say, you know what, if you don't have symptoms, we're not going to test you.
Yeah,
which is absolutely just a case of covering your eyes and saying we don't want to see. We will not have to cancel games because we won't know how many people are sick, and we just roll with it. I mean, is the NBA doing that formally, or is that still being talked about?
I have not seen that they're doing it formally. They might be. I did when I was watching TV last night. I did see a commercial for like, hey, don't forget Christmas Day NBA games. I'm like, you know, there's a slate of like six or something like that.
Yeah. I'm wondering if even half of them
get paid because Brooklyn and Portland were supposed to play tonight as we record this, like Wednesday night, and that just got postponed. So I think maybe even the NBA is approaching a situation where they're kind of like, you know what, might not be that worth it.
But the Christmas Day for them, I mean, that's...
enormous. And then the other thing is the NFL is obviously, like, what, 2-3 weeks away from their playoffs starting, so...
And the NFL just had a really bad week, too. Moving games. Yes. There were games on Tuesday, which isn't something normal. Now, the NFL has avoided canceling or postponing any games, but obviously there's a lot more flexibility in the schedule when you're playing once a week.
Right.
But there is like there's definitely, it sounds like that's the direction we're headed, is either less testing, no testing if you don't have symptoms, in which case, I mean, we know how hockey players are. Suddenly they're not going to report symptoms unless they're extreme. And you just let it rip and hope for the best, which on the one hand sounds crazy, but
if you got to play games, which you do if you're the NHL.
Yeah, the alternative is you shut it down completely, and don't.
There's no alternative. That's right. Yeah, so
it's a mess.
Yeah, that sucks, and it means as of 10 a.m., about half an hour ago as we record this, they officially announced they're not going to the Olympics. Now... Was there anybody on this particular podcast saying all along that there was no way the NHL was ever going to go to the fucking Olympics?
Can't remember. I'm not sure.
I mean, well, so my thing with it is this. Like, I think that they would have let players go if they couldn't find a 35% compelling reason, right? I think this is an incredibly compelling reason to not go. I'm not, like, criticizing them on that front. But with that having been said, like, I'm sitting there feeling like I'm looking at a fucking Peanuts cartoon with all these guys going, oh, let's get ready, Olympic rosters. And I'm just like, come on.
Yeah.
You know this isn't going to fucking happen.
See, I really felt like, I mean, this outbreak with this variant and everything was unexpected. It certainly wasn't something that nobody could have seen coming, the idea that there would be a bad outbreak around this time. But it wasn't expected. I think it was, how long ago was it? Remember we had on one of the shows where it was you, me, and the other guy, and we were talking about the percentage chance that we would put on there.
Like, and less than a month.
Greg, I feel like Greg it was, said, yeah.
100%, yeah.
And Greg said he still thought it was close to 100%. I think I just waffled and said 50-50 like a coward, and you were lower than that. But, like, this did shift very quickly. I mean, they were going to go, even with quote-unquote normal COVID hanging over everything, but this did change the equation, and it's the right call, of course. I mean, this would have been a potential disaster to go in the middle of all this. But I guess you go thumbs up to Gary Bettman. He got exactly what he wanted, which is no Olympics and no concessions to the players for not going to the Olympics.
Yeah, because that's the other thing, that they were like, yeah, we'll look. You gotta give a little to get a little, but we will let you go to the Olympics. We hate to do it, of course, but you know, in the interest of getting this extended, I think we're willing to do it.
Yeah.
Again, knowing full well that they would be like, you know what, we're just a little worried one or two of you guys is gonna get a hangnail over there. In the interest of getting the season completed in a timely fashion, well, we hate to do it, but
yeah, and I'm not implying that Bettman did anything wrong or nefarious.
No, again,
it just
totally
fell into his
justified
lap,
reason.
Yeah, in a way, but man, it's and now we find out what the heck they're going to do with this 3-week gap in the schedule. Which, you know, if you're looking for evidence that the league was at least sincere in going, the fact that half the buildings are apparently all booked up,
yeah,
you know, that would have been a little suspicious if we got to this and they're like, yeah, we didn't book anything. But what do we do? Apparently some buildings have availability, some don't.
Yeah. I think they said on 32 Thoughts earlier this week, maybe end of last week, that there's a little bit of talk of, like, you know what, if there you might just end up playing the Nashville Predators 3 times over the next few weeks because their building's open and yours might not be, and it doesn't matter if you were originally supposed to play the Nashville Predators 3 times or any of that kind of stuff. Like, it's going to be an unbalanced schedule. And you're just going to have to live with that.
We're going to try to get everyone to 82 games.
But yep.
It's not going to be the 82 that you necessarily thought you were going to play. And there's also crossing the border becomes an issue again. Yep. So does it?
And so are we starting to hear, what's that? It sounds like it's Santa Claus and sleigh bells. No, it's the words fake season.
Mm-hmm.
Yet another one. Here it is. Wow.
As I tell you, I am not on board with that until I find out how the Leafs did in the playoffs. Then I will let you know. But the Lightning fans going for the three-peat of fake championships.
If they get three fake championships, I will happily give them 2 1/3. I'll say, you know what? You earned slightly more than 2 out of this.
But all right. That's fair.
I feel like it's worth about 0.7 Stanley Cups.
Okay.
You know?
There's got to be some analytics on that. That feels like something we could calculate.
Yeah. And the other thing, I said this last night, just another piece of evidence that they are really throwing up every fucking roadblock they can think of to keep Ovechkin from that goals record, huh?
That's it. This whole thing, you know, this COVID. It's all fake. It's all just
the Wayne Gretzky's they call it.
Pulling the levers and keeping this to I don't know. It's not the season to me is not going to feel as fake as maybe it did last year. Like if we go back to a Canadian division for a month, we've seen these teams play other teams at least. We're not going to have to do that whole stupid, oh, what if they're all secretly terrible and they're only winning because they're beating each other.
Which turned out to be 100% the case.
Well, kind of, yeah. But, it's going to be like the guy who makes the NHL schedule is going to make his money the next week or so.
Yeah, because he's locked in a basement somewhere, just furiously highlighting things in spreadsheets. Like I said, this is all 100% justified. Going to the Olympics.
There was no option.
Yeah, they had no choice but to say that. Of course, you can't go. But it doesn't mean it doesn't suck, and I'm very curious to see how I saw the IIHF statement was something along the lines of, look, we're going to work with the participating nations or whatever to put together some kind of workable rosters, and if it's anything like Pyeongchang, or is it Pyongyang? I can never remember which is which.
You're asking me on pronunciation.
That's a good point. One is in North Korea, famously. But anyway, point is, it'll be interesting to see if they just go the same route of like, yeah, we're going to get some college guys. We're going to get some.
And then who wants to go there?
AHL only guys.
Yeah. How far down do you have to go? Because it's not like...
Yep.
The 20 best Americans aren't going to go, so 21 through 40 are all automatic. Now, Bobby Ryan this week said maybe he'd want to play. Like, there's going to be people. This will be a once in a lifetime opportunity. It's not like you're going to have trouble filling a team, but it'll be another tournament that played in the middle of the night that people won't really. You won't pay attention unless your country is winning, and then you'll jump in.
To be fair, it'll be played at like 7 in the morning.
7 a.m., yeah.
So like that's a little different.
That's in the middle of the night.
Than like the 4 a.m. and 5 a.m. starts we had in Korea.
Well, I think there are games at 4 a.m. It's just that the
just not American and Canadian teams ones, are right.
all scheduled. Yeah. I'll tell you the other piece of this, and we don't know yet, I don't think, how this affects the women's side, whether... whether they'll be able to get, whether star players will still want to go. But if they do, the women's game is now the marquee event.
Oh, absolutely.
Not trying to be disrespectful to the people who are going to play on the men's side, but if it's best on best U.S. versus Canada women's hockey, that is 10 times more interesting and probably entertaining than anything that's going to happen on the men's side.
Absolutely. I'm looking at this. I'm trying to see if I can find like any kind of a reasonable quote-unquote long list, and I can't find like a definitive one, but everything I'm seeing kind of indicates that at least for Canada and the U.S., even the long lists were just like, here's 50 NHLers,
Yeah, that's it.
So I wonder how much leeway the IIHF and the IOC is going to give teams to be like completely remaking.
Mm-hmm. They have to, or else U.S. and Canada just don't have teams, and
right.
I don't think that's likely. And it's pretty extraordinary circumstances, but it's going to be a mix of guys you've never heard of. Guys that you're like, oh, I remember that guy. Is he still actively playing somewhere? And, on down the line. And some of it, I'm sure we'll get some good games out of it. We'll get some good stories. But it's in a way, this will be even harder than 2018. We knew they weren't going. We didn't spend
months in advance. Yes,
3 months in 2018 building rosters and arguing about, like, you know, is Marner going to make the roster, or is it going to be, you know, Tom Wilson or whoever? And then suddenly it's like, well, it's actually Mitch Wilson. He's right. really good in the Thunder Bay Beer League, and he's going to the Olympics. So
he plays for Northern Eastern Michigan State University.
Polytechnic Institute, and and then it'll be like, obviously Russia will have, like, you know, probably a bunch of KHL guys, and it's
like a bunch of active players who are 100% going to the Hockey Hall of Fame as, like, you know, Russian guys.
Exactly. And really, I mean, would a bunch of scrappy American amateurs ever have a chance against a Russian powerhouse team at the Olympics?
You know what? I can't imagine.
No.
Boy, it didn't go great last time out, huh?
No. So. Did it not? I don't know. I don't even remember 2018. I literally don't remember who won or...
Russia won, famously.
I know Canada didn't win, but I don't... What do you mean famously?
Good point by you. It sucks, but this is just... We're going to have to deal with it, I guess.
As you know, pundits, podcasters, writers, this is it sucks, and yet we can't even complain about it. We can't even sit there and be like, you know who to blame? No, there's not. I can't rip on Gary Bettman. I can't rip on the league. They're doing the right things.
Meanwhile, a bunch of people are listening to this podcast are like, you can't rip on Gary Bettman?
Yeah, I can. I totally could. But not for this specific.
That's right. Okay.
Thing.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Here's a ad transition apropos of absolutely nothing. Hockey fans. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has a no-brainer offer that'll make you a winner once any shot gets past the goalie. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores. And since the NHL got rid of ties in 2005, you know someone's going to light the lamp. If a sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, no worries. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Hockey Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with their first deposit. So, you're going to want to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code PUCKSOUP, put down $1 bet on any NHL game, and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. That's promo code PUCKSOUP this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. I guess the only other bit of news this week, though, is that the Calgary Flames are telling the city to get lost with their arena proposal because of cost overruns.
Mm-hmm.
That, these things tend to have cost overruns, so I can't imagine why anybody's acting surprised.
I think the only surprise here is that we're into overruns and they haven't even broken ground yet. If people are right, because I'm guessing there's probably people going, didn't the Flames arena thing get sorted out 2 years ago?
And sure
it did. They had an agreement 2 years ago, and it basically was 50-50. The city and the team were going to split it 50-50 with all the usual complications and subclauses.
And I believe the city was also giving them the land.
Yes.
As opposed to, like, selling it for however. Yeah.
So it was the usual case of a pro sports team using leverage to get a pretty sweet deal, although not the full ticket that I'm sure the Flames would have liked.
The context around the deal they got was that, remember, the Flames kind of publicly threw their support behind a mayoral candidate who got his fucking ass kicked.
Yeah.
Right. In the election, and so then they had to go to the bargaining table, with the mayor who,
that they had tried to
screw,
and it didn't work.
Yeah. So, like, they didn't get the, they still got, frankly, you know, 300 something million dollars out of the city. Like, that's not nothing, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep.
And, you know, a sweeter deal than I think I would have expected, given how things worked out for the people at the Calgary Flames, like, ownership table or whatever. But yeah, so now they're looking at, like, cost overruns that, you know, the city is saying it's, like, only $9.7 million. And you're like, well, Jesus Christ, they're paying, like, Milan Lucic how much? And,
yeah.
And the cost overruns are this, are this little, but you know, the Flames are saying it's maybe more like 20 million or 25 million or something like that. So like there's a bit of a disagreement either way. It kind of feels like a rounding error to, a team owned by a billionaire, but
yeah, when you're talking
mostly
about
owned by a billionaire,
hundreds of millions of dollars. And there's, yeah, it's a little weird. It's strange that it feels, from an outside perspective, strange that this difference has led to the Flames basically saying the project's dead. Now, yes, with the obvious caveat that this could be a bluff, this could be negotiating, they could be 2 weeks from now, oh, we figured it out and it's back on. I think that's actually the most likely scenario, is that
yeah,
they've come
just
so
trying
far.
Trying to get an extra, trying to shake a couple extra coins out yeah. of the piggy bank. Absolutely.
I think that's where this is headed. The key thing, though, I suppose, is to say that in their, because the current mayor of Calgary announced that the deal was dead and sort of tweeted out a little thread about the city's perspective of it. The Flames then put out a statement where they crunched numbers. It doesn't seem that, like, adversarial at this point.
Yeah, it's not acrimonious.
Yes,
I don't think.
Good. Yeah, that it doesn't feel like it's fallen apart and now the knives are out. It sort of is more two sides saying here's why we've given as much as we can and we can't go any further. The key thing is the Flames in their statement said that the project's dead, and we'll see if that's true. But they are the plan now is to just stay in the Saddle Dome. They did not talk about exploring other options. There is not at this point any threat that they're going to move. They had kind of played footsie with that 2 years ago that, well, you know,
oh, absolutely.
City and who knows.
That's where the Houston rumors started with, like, Houston's interested in an NHL team.
That's why you got to have that's why Quebec City's never getting an NHL team, because they need to be the Canadian hammer that you can hang over any team. You know, Ottawa will be next. That's not getting an arena. I don't think anyone really bought that last time, but they're not even going there at this point. Again, who knows, but, the Saddle Dome is not a great building. It's an old building, but it's functional. You could play there. So that's what they say they're going to do, but I'm with you. I think sooner rather than the later, we find out that, we've come back to the table, we figured it out, and the project goes forward. Because they were supposed to have shovels in the ground already, initially,
yes.
And then there was a delay, and it was supposed to be early in the new year. So whether they get to that date, probably not now, but I think they'll find something.
Yeah, it's interesting. I just think that, like, mostly my feeling is that you can't have two NHL teams at the same time going, yeah, we don't know where we're going to play in the near future if we can't get a deal worked out. And
that's,
like,
Bettman's not going to let that happen, because then the leverage goes to the places that want teams.
Yes.
And this is a leverage play.
And the issue, I think you would say too, is that, you know, like the Coyotes are allegedly, you know, the city says they're caught up on their rent now or whatever, and they're agreeing to the deal we still have no idea what the plan is for next season.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't said anything.
Everybody
it's fucking
is saying
incredible.
They're going to stay in Arizona, but not in Glendale.
Right.
So where are you going to play? Like Craig Morgan wrote a piece where he was like, here's the other options. And we should say in Arizona, I get the sense that people still think they're going to work something out with Glendale, that this is all
that's certainly bargaining. What it seems like the organization is thinking.
Yeah, but what is the backup plan? And obviously on the outside, a lot of us think the backup plan is you just move the team somewhere else, but they've insisted that that's not the case. So the backup plan becomes either the baseball stadium, or there's other hockey arenas in the state, but a lot of them seat like 5,000 or 6,000 people. So would the NHL right. play? And Craig got Bill Daly on the record, like basically asking him, like, would you actually let an NHL team play in a 5,000 seat arena? And he was like, yeah, maybe. You know, basically made it sound like if there's an arena being built, like a world class 18,000 seat arena being built somewhere, yeah, we would ride it out for a few years playing in a minor league rink. But
insane, truly yeah. insane. To be like, yeah, we'd be comfortable playing in a seat, in an arena that seats 5,500 people or whatever, like for multiple seasons. Because that's the thing. I think it was the that same Craig Morgan piece that basically said like, oh no, like this would be like a 3-4-5 year situation.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. It's gonna take because it's being built from scratch, and so I don't know. It's that. Everybody all along has said this. It's all negotiating. It's just all leverage. They'll work it out with Glendale. But I feel like when you say we're going to kick you out if you don't pay your rent by next week, that's starting to feel a little bit broken to me.
How do you mean?
Like in terms of the relationship is broken. Like they're
not
patching this up, and that right. that doesn't feel like a regular old negotiating tactic.
No, I agree. Like, the fact that they're pretty – let's put it this way. The fact that they were like, we'd actually really like some assurances that we'll continue getting the money you mm-hmm. will owe us.
Yeah.
Like, not just, like, give us the money you currently owe us, but we kind of feel like you're going to skip town.
Yeah. Yeah, we can see like, that you're already good. Packing up and you're going to get out of here and we're trying to yeah, I don't know.
So, okay, I pulled up that Craig Morgan column, by the way. Chase Field, where the baseball, the Diamondbacks play, not feasible for next season, basically. There's like the Super Bowl is going to be there. So there's just not – they're not going to
well,
be.
Well, what would you rather have, the Super Bowl or the NHL?
That's right. Tucson Arena, which is notably not really all that close to Phoenix, that is the biggest possible other venue that is currently an active hockey arena, and it seats a little under 6,800 people. Prescott Valley, which is kind of closer, if I'm not mistaken, is 5,100, and the new ASU Arena seats 5K. And, yeah, to your point about the Bill Daly quote is, it, quote, depends on the totality of circumstances, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah. I guess we all get our jokes in about the Coyotes filling a 5,000-seat arena, but, oof, that's not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
So they have 6 months to figure it out, basically, is what... is what the reality is,
and
this
you
seems
know, again,
like something that would be tricky to figure out.
Everybody is saying that they're not going to move. They're not going to move, but and only one team has moved in 25 years in the NHL. But that team, when Atlanta moved, it was it's fine. Oh, they're moving. Like it was just almost instant. It felt like is my recollection that
yeah.
The league just one day was like, yeah, it's not going to work. They're going to be in Winnipeg next year. And that was it. So
that's, yeah, it's not a good situation, but I you know, it's at least, the Calgary Flames have that, right? Like we're not Arizona's situation. We can figure something yeah. out, and they're not going to kick us out of our current arena. So.
You would imagine not. Is what we're hoping, but yeah, no, it's well, I mean, hey, this is the NHL, right? There's always got to be somebody somewhere who's struggling, and here we are right now. It's two teams, one of which feels like a lot more of a permanent situation than the other.
Yep. All right, so since we don't have anything to talk about and we didn't want this show to be, whatever, 45 minutes long, we thought we would kick around some ideas for the NHL award, like, you know, guys who are in the conversation for various NHL awards.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with the big one. Let's go with the MVP awards.
Yep.
Obviously, you got McDavid and Dreisaitl, both of whom have 49 points in 29 games. I think you can make I can't believe I'm saying this. I think you can make a more coherent argument for Dreisaitl than McDavid at this point.
Really? How so? What's that?
More goals, not as bad defensively. I'm pretty sure he's still a penalty kill guy, which I'm pretty sure McDavid isn't. I guess I could look that up, but I'm not doing that right now. I just think that Dreisaitl has looked a little more dangerous. And granted, part of that is he's shooting like 25% or whatever. But, you know, at the end of the season, they don't ask you, how good was your save percentage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Those are goals he has in the bank already. So even if he slows down, which he probably will, he's got a shitload of goals. So
yeah, and it's I don't know. It's tough. On the one hand, it's sort of tough to picture the sort of people who vote on the Hart Trophy putting two guys from the same team at the top of their ballot. So it like they're the two favorites right now, but it feels
they already
like,
did it though.
They kind of did. That's the. I mean, Dreisaitl did win. Now the year that he won a couple years ago, McDavid was hurt for a chunk of that.
Mm-hmm.
But McDavid, I'm just looking at it. He finished fifth in the MVP voting that year. So certainly, McDavid finished fifth. Dreisaitl had 91 first place votes. McDavid had one. So there was a clear tip at some point where everybody decided, okay, if you're voting for an Oiler, this is who you're voting for.
Yeah.
Now, would we get that if both of these guys finished the year with 140 points?
Right.
I don't know.
That's right.
And is there a scenario where they then split the vote enough that somebody else can come in? The problem is, I'm looking at the names, and it feels like there's one other legitimate candidate at this point, and then a whole lot of guys that are question.
Who do you think that legitimate candidate is?
That's Ovechkin, I would say.
Ovechkin.
Because he's got the great story of,
His line mate was missing for a good chunk of the season.
His team's been injured. His team is better than expected, even though they're pretty much as good as they always are. But all of us in the media thought they were going to fall off, and they're not. So clearly we can't have been wrong. There must be an extraordinary performance.
See, because I think there's a very good option. Well, I guess I would also say Austin Matthews is a pretty obvious candidate. The Leafs are fucking unbelievable. He's a huge reason why. But you know who I'm contractually obligated to point out that once again, everybody on the Colorado Avalanche is missing significant time.
Mm-hmm.
And fucking Nazem Kadri has 38 points in 24 games.
That's like he's got the full-on MVP story if you really want to lean on the V. Like it's not the best player, it's the value, and it's all of this. The thing is, I think
he's been unbelievable this year, though.
He's been great. He's been fantastic. I just don't know that. I don't know. I would be surprised to see unless McKinnon gets hurt again or whatever else. He would have to do it over the full season.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess it's a possibility, but I just wonder. Do you think does Cale Makar start getting some? Like I know we never vote for defensemen for this award.
Yeah.
But at some point, if he's scoring 30 goals,
I got one more for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a team that everybody was like, ooh, their goaltending is going to be not very good this year? And is very good.
goaltending is good.
Yeah.
Who?
Carolina. Freddie Anderson has been ridiculous this season. He's out of his mind. He's like a 930 goalie.
I guess
I can also see Shesterkin for a pretty similar reason. I don't think anybody thought the Rangers were going to be this good.
I think that one's maybe an easier sell, yeah. But
I look at you know, like you said about people kind of discounting the Capitals. I was like, Carolina could be in trouble if their goalies are what their reputations suggest, you know? And here's Freddie Anderson. He's the best goalie in the league to date, I think.
Yep. He's been really good. He's your Vezina guy? Is that
I think you have to give him the Vezina at this point. Yeah. Him, I think the Vezina I would go probably him, Shesterkin, Vasilevsky.
Yeah. Jack Campbell's been very good.
Jack Campbell's been great.
Markstrom's had all the shutouts.
He's slowed down a little bit of late, though.
Yeah. And Bobrovsky's kind of gone back to the skids, not being good anymore.
Oh, Bobrovsky's been outright bad.
He was great for the first month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
He was.
Turns out they make you play more than that, though.
Oh. Well.
Bad news for him, but.
Well, let's find out, but yeah.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so we mentioned obviously earlier Cale Makar. I think that's like a clear Norris choice, right? Like, is there anybody else even in the conversation at this point?
I mean, Morgan Riley, Adam Fox and Hedman just always sort of has a low floor a high floor, I guess
on
this. I think that's probably it.
Yeah,
Tony DeAngelo's been good, but. He's
been putting up points. I don't know if I would say he's been good otherwise. Putting up points is something, but he's also missed some games and stuff like that.
Yeah. So. The other guy that maybe if you're looking for somebody who I could see their candidacy getting some steam is Aaron Ekblad's been very good.
Yeah.
And he sort of feels like one of those guys where
he's due.
He feels a little underrated.
Years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So just like Drew Doughty, it's the
yeah.
Career Achievement Award at 27 or whatever it was. But yeah, I think it's Cale Makar, Adam Fox, and then Hedman or maybe a more like Morgan Riley's starting to get a little bit of buzz. He's been playing great.
He's been unbelievable this year. And he's a big, huge reason why the Maple Leafs are where they are in the standings. Yeah. If he's even like as good as he was last year, I think they're in much rougher shape.
Yep.
Okay. There you go. What do you got for Jack Adams? This is interesting to me.
Yeah. So I think Jack Adams, you're always looking at what's the team that's overachieving, preferably with a newish coach, and right now, that's. I think the Flames with Daryl Sutter. Like, is he the favorite?
I think the answer is Dallas Eakins, and I don't
see I mean, the Ducks are certainly the biggest surprise.
And they're, like, it's not just, like, a fluke bullshit thing with them.
Yeah.
Like, they're playing perfectly well. They're certainly, like you said, they've surprised a lot of people in that. People thought they wouldn't make the playoffs this year, and right now they're in a playoff spot. That's not nothing through 32 games, and I wrote about it earlier this week. It really seems like, and we talked about it on the podcast last week, it's gotten even more to the point where it seems like, yeah, the 8 or 9 teams that are in the playoff race are not leaving it.
Yeah. Now. Yep.
And so, like, at a minimum, the Ducks are going to be in the conversation.
Yeah, they're, and then the other one, I guess, would be if we're going on the surprise teams is John Hines in Nashville, because.
Yeah, well, I mean, somebody's going to tell Saros to be a 940 goalie or whatever he's been. So,
I mean, that's the thing, right? I mean, the Jack Adams it's the broadcasters, right? So,
yeah.
that's part of it for me, is if I'm looking at Dallas Eakins, I'm saying, okay, I'm a broadcaster. What has Dallas Eakins done? What's his contribution? What is John Hines done? Whereas with Daryl Sutter, it's nice and simple for me. He's the defense possession guy.
Yeah.
Oh, Calgary's hard to score on, and they have good possession numbers. I can draw a straight line from that to Daryl mm-hmm. Sutter. And plus, he's, you know, everybody loves Daryl Sutter. He's a million yeah. laughs. So I still have him as my favorite. But you're right. Yeah, Eakins is especially, I mean, if Anaheim makes the playoffs and they're gunning for the top of that division at some point, yeah. That's
well, I think Vegas is going to end up running away with it, honestly.
I do too.
Like, but by the end of that, by the end of the season. But, like, can I see the Ducks hanging around the Flames or even the Oilers? Yeah, kind of at this point. If the goaltending holds up a little bit. Yeah. Like I said, it would be tough to see them not hanging around. Mm-hmm. I got two more for you, though.
Okay.
We mentioned it earlier. Their performances is a bit of a surprise. Peter Laviolette in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of danced around this earlier. Look who's still in the fucking playoffs despite every important player on the team missing a significant amount of time. The Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yep.
You're trying to tell me Mike Sullivan is being carried by fucking Evan Rodriguez?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, come Mike on, Sullivan man. Is one of those guys where, I mean, if we're drafting coaches, I mm-hmm. feel like he's in your top five, and yet he doesn't. Yeah. I think people go, well, he's got Crosby or whatever, but we see this, I mean, that's the joke, right, with the Penguins is the Mark Donk thing.
Yeah.
That's a lot of that's got to be on him. So, yeah, credit to him. The other guy that I guess I would just throw out there is Gerard Gallant, just because he's the cliched Jack Adams candidate.
Yes.
New coach, good reputation, starts with a new team. That team immediately makes a jump. That's sometimes all that the voters really need to see to know that yep. this guy's a good coach.
What do you got? Let's put it this way. 2-3 weeks ago, everybody's saying Lucas Raymond has this shit sewn up for the Calder.
Yeah. Well, the two Red Wings, hey, you know, Moritz Seider,
yeah, sure.
And then
what? And then here comes a little boy out of Boston University. His name's Trevor Zegras. He does the thing with the puck over the back of the net.
Yeah,
he
ruins
gets
hockey.
Scared in that video that everybody loved from yesterday.
Yeah, that was a good video.
Pretty good, yeah. Went on a little too long, just like any fucking Impractical Jokers style gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Wrap it up. It's not that funny. Trevor Zegras, this kid fucking rocks.
Yep.
He's fun. We love him. And let's put it this way. If he's playing meaningful minutes for a legitimate playoff contender, I think voters will somewhat justifiably say, mm-hmm. well, you know what? I feel like that matters more to me than Lucas Raymond and Moritz Seider playing unbelievably well for a team that sucks.
Yep.
And Red Wings suck.
Well, I mean, they've the record's better than we thought it would be at this point. But yeah, not
because of, and because of those two guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And with that having been said, they're not going to hang around the playoff picture.
And yeah, I mean, they're not. And again, kind of like with the Hart, you do get into some concern about vote splitting here, except historically voters have been fine giving multiple Calder votes to the same team. It's not like the Hart where it's like, can you really be the MVP if you're not even the MVP? Like you can have two or three or more great rookies on a team. So I don't think that's an issue for Detroit.
Yeah.
But I hate to say it, because maybe it sounds a little dumb, like the fact that Zegras has that highlight, that signature moment, kind of does, I think, nudge him up a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
You know, when we're sitting a lot of times, you know, sorry to say it, like we don't watch every game of every team all the time because there's not enough time to
well,
do.
Well, I do.
You
I've
do.
Never,
but you're
yeah,
the only
I
one.
I do, and I've never looked at a spreadsheet in my entire life.
So. Exactly. But It's you sit there and go, okay, what I remember from this person? What do I remember seeing that you won't have that with Zegras, right? You'll just be like, yeah, I remember that play.
That was cool.
In what could be a close-ish, you know, whereas Lucas Raymond's been amazing and has great numbers, but, you know, quick, picture Lucas Raymond, and it's like, you know, and of course, voting on these awards should be much more than that, and for most voters it is, but if it comes down to a tight race, having that signature moment on your resume might nudge him just a couple of extra votes that could end up being the difference.
Right. And again, like, Zegras is coming on a bit strong here. He's got 20 points in his last 17 games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there. And then it feels like.
Then there's a few goalies, and it just sort of.
I don't think there. See, I was just thinking that, like, because going into the season, I thought Spencer Knight.
Yep.
If Bobrovsky was bad, Spencer Knight would be a pretty clear candidate. Obviously, Bobrovsky wasn't bad for a good chunk of the year, but Spencer Knight sitting on 892 right now, and the only guys in front of him, that I would say like have played a decent number of games are Jeremy Swayman, who's I would say a clear 1B in Boston, and he's been very good. But he's a clear 1B. He's only played 14 games.
Should probably be more, but...
Agreed. And Alex Nedeljkovic, who has also been good. It's his ninth rookie season.
Yeah. He was a Calder finalist last year, so that on its own might have some people either confused or just saying you can't be a Rookie of the Year finalist 2 years in a row, which that makes certain sense.
You can. It's in the rules, but... Yeah. But the other thing to say about him is, again, Detroit's not going to be this good all year.
If he
starts dropping a bunch of games, blah, 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 suddenly you're like, right.
Like third Red Wing on a ballot.
Yep.
And then the other one we haven't mentioned is good old Michael Bunting, the 34-year-old rookie in Toronto.
That's right.
Austin Matthews keeps bouncing pucks off his skate and...
And I think he'll be properly viewed as such, right? Like, he's having a great season. Nobody's taking that away from him. But is he having, like, a Rookie of the Year kind of a season? No, come on. Grow up. All right, what are we forgetting? What are we forgetting? We said the Norris, we said...
Do you want to do GM of the Year? Who's been the Mark Messier Leader of the Year, do you think?
Oh... Has Patrice Bergeron ever won that? Like, this is a legitimate question. I don't know the answer.
I have
that
no
feels
idea.
Like that's got Bergeron all over it at some point.
Yeah, that
right?
I would be surprised if he hasn't. But let me look that up. Yes, he did. He won it last year. Actually.
Oh well, there you go. Okay, I don't think he's going to win it this year then.
Probably not. Because you can't be a good leader 2 years in a row. It's just not.
Well, you can be. You can't be the best leader 2 years.
That's
in a row.
True. That's true.
I was gonna say Selkie. I don't really have a strong opinion. Who's a good defensive forward? Austin Matthews is a good defensive forward. I don't know.
Maybe.
Let's put it this way:
Give it to Bergeron again.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. This is my long term theory about this is you get it a year or two after you actually deserved it. So let's go back and look at who should have won it in 2019. I feel like this is his year.
Yep. That sounds about right. By the way, I just looked it up. Alexander Ovechkin has never won the Mark Messier.
Oh, this is absolutely the fucking
gotta
year
be him this year.
Right? Absolutely. Yes. Great fucking call. Wow. This is why you're the best in the biz, Sean.
That's it. Nobody can quietly type Hockey Reference queries.
That's
like
right.
I do while someone else is speaking.
Who do you got for who do you think Ovechkin wins the Rocket, or you think he slows down a bit?
I think he slows down, but I've been saying that
for
5 years now. I mean, Dreisaitl is obviously
It's him. It's Matthews. It's Dreisaitl. I guess you're picking between those three.
It's a real nice.
It's going to be a really fun race.
Fun race, and it could unfortunately come down to which teams play the most games and that sort of thing. But I guess we'll deal with that.
Well, my only other concern is now that Nick Backstrom is allegedly back, like a boat anchor around Alex Ovechkin's neck, hauling that stiff up and down the ice.
Yeah,
you get look. All I'm saying is, you get him loose of Nick Backstrom. Look what he does. 35 years old. He could have been doing this the whole time. Gretzky's record in tatters, 2016.
But he wouldn't have made that commercial.
That's true.
You balance
out. All right. And one last one. Let's figure out who is the Conn Smythe winner of this season.
Ooh, boy.
I don't know. I'm just kidding.
I'm going to go.
Let's do this. The President's Trophy. Who you got? Who you think finishes with the best record in the league? Because I think there are like six good candidates here.
Yeah, it's right now. I might say Tampa now, but I don't feel
understandable.
Great about it. Like, Colorado's
very understandable.
Colorado and Vegas, I like as cup favorites, but I don't know if...
Well, let me put it this way. I really like how Toronto is coming on. Look, I know you're going to be mad about this, but
probably.
I can easily see a scenario where it's the Leafs. Easily.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at their... Right now, Tampa's in first place overall with points. The Leafs are 2 points back and have played the same number of games. Points percentage, it's Carolina. The Leafs are 1 point back. Carolina has one game in hand. So, yeah, I mean, night one, the Leafs could move into first. The Toronto Maple Leafs winning the President's Trophy and losing the first round would be a very Leafs-y yes. result that would, I think, satisfy everyone. So, yeah, not a bad call.
And you know what, you mentioned them. I think Vegas is in a position where if they get Eichel back and he's what we think of Jack Eichel being, and Chandler Stephenson moves down to the second line or even the third line, if you want to say the Misfits line is the number two, I can see them really devouring that division, which, you know, Vancouver's performance aside, is starting to look a little bit more like we thought it would, where it's like, yeah, I don't think anybody in that division is particularly good. Vegas has the sixth best record in the league since, like, whatever, mid-October, and they're getting all their big guns back, and like, Mark Stone looked fucking phenomenal last night. I don't know. Oh, you didn't watch that game, you said. He looked incredible until he left with a precautionary injury. Pat Giaretti's putting the puck in the net like nobody's business. You know, if the goaltending holds up and, like, Lehner stays healthy or whatever, I can really see these guys going on a big fucking run in the second half.
That's not a bad pick. They've got ground to make up, but they've got 50 games to do it.
That's 50 games against the Coyotes, the Kings, mm-hmm. the Kraken, the Oilers, the Flames, the Canucks. Like, and yeah, of course, even the Ducks, right? Like, everybody in that division, you look at that and you go, Vegas should beat them more often than not. So, I don't know. I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. One more thing here. We're coming up. It's the end of the year. I know that. Let's put it this way. Let's do Sean's pop culture review. What did you take in pop culture wise in the year 2021?
Oh man, I watched a few movies. I did, but I'm trying to remember, like, 2021. Like, what? I feel like I'd be naming movies, and you're like, yeah, that came out 2 years ago, and.
Right. You're like Jurassic Park. When did that come out?
Exactly. I'm like looking down the list of like best movies of 2021, and I haven't seen a ton of them. I did see Power of the Dog. We mentioned that a few times. Mm-hmm. Other than that, what the hell did I watch? I will, you know what? I'll throw this out there as something that I watched that I was really impressed with when I watched it, and then I kind of put it aside and thought I'd go back to it because I wasn't sure how it would hold up in my mind, and it's held up really well, is the Bo Burnham's Inside.
Uh-huh.
This is the comedy hour that isn't really a comedy that he filmed on his own while he kind of went nuts over the... It got a lot of positive reviews and everything, and looking back, I think it was deserved. I think it was really, really good. And as a comedy, more of a stand-up comedy guy, and this isn't that. But I thought it was really impressive what he managed to do. So that's my recommendation for the year. Go see that, except don't if you're just looking to feel happy about something, because you won't come out of that feeling good at all.
The thing I saw recently, it's going to be in theaters for another couple of weeks. Folks, you got to see West Side Story. I
still feel like you're doing a bit with this. I do not.
It rocks. It's so good.
Wow.
And I'm going to say this, better than the original.
Huh. Okay. This young Spielberg director maybe has...
Yeah, he's got a little something to him, I think. I just looked it up, by the way. Since theaters opened back up in the year 2021, I have seen 48 films in theaters.
Wow, you've got me beat.
Yeah, I figured I might, and it'll be 49. I'm seeing The Matrix in like 3 hours, so looking forward to that as well. Any other big movies? I think The Last Duel is out on various, digital platforms or whatever. See The Last Duel, folks. It's a great movie. Everybody is seeing House of Gucci, a lesser entry into the Ridley Scott catalog compared to The Last Duel. Put out two movies in the space of a month and a half or whatever. I thought The Last Duel rocked. I haven't really put a ton of thought into my top 10 or whatever films of the year. I Licorice Pizza was great. I think I said that. So
okay.
I don't know. You're about to have a lot of options available to you. Spider-Man was fine. I don't know.
And you were where on Dune as a you like
15
that, right?
out of 10. Wow. As a fan of the book, books plural, I guess. I was hoping that it would be exactly how it turned out to be. I don't know what I would have done differently, with making a movie of the first 40% of a book.
Right, and is this one of these that they've already got part two on the way? Like they've just split.
They were like, we're going to make it, and if it does well, we'll make the second half of the first book. And that has already been greenlit. I believe production begins like middle of next year, and it's intended for like end of 2023, if I'm not much mistaken. But yeah, very, very exciting film for me, Dune. I don't know how it will translate to the home viewing experience. I saw it. Both times I saw it in IMAX, so that helped. But, I mean, it rocks. It's so good. So,
cool.
Yeah, see Dune. I don't know. But, yeah, so that's it. We're done. Again, just really not a ton to talk about this week. Tried to give you as much filler as possible.
Yeah.
We're off next week. We should say that.
Main show's off. Still on the Patreon and a bonus on the way and all of that.
Yeah. So we got all that coming to us, but otherwise, we sincerely hope you have a great, well, I don't want to speak for Sean. I personally hope you guys have a nice holiday.
I insincerely hope that you have a great holiday.
Better than nothing. He could have said he hoped you don't have a good holiday.
Exactly. I wouldn't say that out loud.
That's right. If you want to find more of my work, I can't imagine why you would. Sign up for EP Ringside Premium. If you use the code ILOVEEP, you get some extra months tacked on to the end of an annual subscription. Annual subscriptions only. But we got a ton of great shit on there, especially with World Junior coming up like next week, right? Like Sunday, maybe even.
Apparently, I think it starts.
So. Yeah, go get your roster breakdowns and all that stuff.
Who did you guys get? Like, wasn't there like a big endorsement? Didn't somebody tweet how great you guys
were? Gordon Miller said EP's coverage and information and all that kind of stuff is invaluable, I believe was the word he used.
Not bad.
So I just looked at it right here, predicting the entirety of the 2022 World Junior Championships. You want to know who's going to finish where and all that? I guess you're just going to have to sign up.
Oof. There you go. How's that for a tease? You find me on The Athletic, my usual stuff, as both written and my podcast with Ian Mendez. Check it out. It's fun. We've got tomorrow's show is going to be our 10 weirdest stories of the NHL season. So we're going to no shortage of candidates there.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're gonna talk for 45 minutes about Dylan Larkin bought that guy a beer.
That's right. Yeah.
Can you believe how much people lost their minds over that? Like,
it
was really bad.
I've said this before, though. This is what happens when you have a league where nobody has a personality, is somebody shows a little personality and we all have to go completely insane over it.
Now, there's a leadership award guy.
You know what?
Ooh.
Could happen.
He bought a beer.
Get on it, Ovechkin.
Lucas Raymond to be good.
Yeah, that's right. All of those things. He sent Steve Yzerman some very interesting YouTube videos.
That's right. Look, he's just asking questions. That's it. Happy holidays, folks. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you on the Patreon. See ya.
Stay safe.
Sticks and hits and goals and saves and slap shots and goons. We've got sportly commentary to an NFL commute. But we also cover movies, TV shows, hits and tunes. It's your weekly bowl of hockey and nonsense. Part 2.